You are listening to a Cripple and Co. production.
Welcome to A.G. Parker's Cabinet of Curiosities, an inclusive podcast focused on queer, disabled, and marginalised artists and their art. This is a special announcement. I love making the podcast and sharing conversations with all the amazing people I've had on here for the last 2 years. But as a disabled creative in a bit of a flare-up, if I'm honest, I have to prioritise paid work. I know, right? Capitalism. There are various costs, such as the podcast platform, which I cover myself. And though I had some generous donations last year, I haven't had enough this year to keep it going. So I'm going on a little hiatus. I do hope to be able to come back soon. In the meantime, please enjoy all the episodes up here already. And if you want me to make more, please donate via my Buy Me a Coffee. Stay curious and go make some good art. On with the show. It is a delight to welcome to the podcast today, Kerry Blankenship Kramer. After growing up surrounded by books and people who loved to read them, Kerry's debut novel, Ghost Scout's Honor, is being published by Scholastic in January 2025. And yes, she does have experience with how ghosts have zero respect for personal space. She is currently repped by Shayla Nigg at Highline Literary Collective. Kerry graduated from Berry College with a dual degree in English and creative writing. She later received her master's in writing and digital communications from Agnes Scott College. She has experience working with both publishing houses and literary agencies and loves her role as junior agent at Belcastro Agency. Outside of work and writing, you can usually find Kerry spending time with her small zoo and husband, getting way too competitive on the tennis court, gardening, playing video games, or eating candy. Kerry, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm super excited to chat with you today.
Oh my God, me too. I've never had an agent on the podcast, so I feel, and you're a writer as well, so I feel like you've got all the perspectives to give.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so honored. Wow.
First of all, though, I do have to ask you about the zoo.
Oh, yeah. Do you want, I'll go into as many details as you want.
Give me all the animal details. I love animals.
So we have 7 total. We have one dog. His name's Bolt. He's the love of my life. He's the 3-year-old, 12-pound nuisance. 3 cats. I don't know their breeds. We adopted all of these animals. And then 2 guinea pigs and an axolotl, if you know what that is.
Yeah, the little sea things.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Do they not? So I've got 2 chow chows and I adore them to bits, but I do find that they kind of get in the way of my writing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, and I'm going to apologize in advance if you hear Bolt bark at any time in this podcast. So
excellent. Oh my gosh. Oh no, that's so cute.
Yeah, I love them. But you're absolutely right. They definitely get in the way of writing. They require walks every day. Well, only the dog, obviously, but you know. But it's good too, because it's good to get out of the house and think. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I take a walk, that helps the creative juices flow. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can sit at my desk and nothing happens. But then I go for a walk, or like I chop some vegetables or something, and suddenly like you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I need to chop vegetables next time I'm stuck. That sounds really good.
There you go. Hot tip. Is it weird? Because I know like a lot of agents on their querying pages have got a lot of information about their likes and their dislikes. You've got stuff about your animals. You've got stuff about loving Korean food. Oh my God, I love Korean food too. And we're going to have to, like, I've just filled up my cupboards with so much food. It's unreal, because we went to the Japan Center and then a Korean shop. And so it's wild in there. But
I'm so jealous of you. We don't have any of that near here.
I'll send you some.
Oh my God, I'd cry.
is it weird for you having people kind of semi-stalk you and like know so much about you?
You know, that's a great point. I try my best not to like give as much information. So I used to actually stream on Twitch for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I ran into some issues there with that.
Oh no.
Right. So I tried to put more effort into like not doxing my face so far. But no, I do appreciate when like people say how cute my dog is because they're absolutely right. But yeah, I have run into some uncomfortable situations before. Like most streaming people would send me food and I was like, how'd you get my address?
Oh my
So
God, I'm not actually going to send you Korean food. I'm just
oh no, that's I appreciate that. I am giving you permission. It's the people that found it without my permission. And I'm like, how? Oh my gosh, online information is wild. So
Wow, yeah, that's wild.
yeah,
Okay,
it is. But nothing like that with querying so far.
well, that's good. That's very positive. I would hope that like writers are kind of a bit more like considerate.
Oh yeah,
Respect
they're so
boundaries.
lovely. So
Oh,
lovely. I
that's really
writers are
good.
the best people. So
I mean, I would have to agree. Yeah.
a
So
little biased, but yeah.
little bit biased, little bit biased. Yeah. Does it help a querying author? Because I think often you see, and I will get into like your writing and stuff and other bits in a minute, but like, does it really help if a writer personalizes their query?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. If not even just like to match my manuscript wish list, like that is wonderful. You don't have to connect with me on every level, of course. But I love being able to open a query and see, oh, this is exactly why they
Yeah.
queried me, especially if it's one of my very niche asks, then I'm usually very excited to see that.
Oh, that's yeah, that's pretty good. I do see like agents tweeting saying things like, I literally just do nonfiction and someone has sent me like science fiction. And you just think, what goes through that writer's head where they just haven't looked at the manuscript wish list like at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be quite frustrating.
It is. And I think my biggest learning curve when I started being an agent, because I've been querying for so long, I think I got my agent 2 weeks before I officially became an agent. So they were like right around the same time. So my biggest shock was the amount of people querying me without queries at all. Like they
What?
would just write in the query inbox, here's my story. And I'd be like, okay,
That's
wait.
what? That's
Yeah.
wild.
It's not, I'm always like, okay, this is obviously a person that is still learning, but it's more of like just the audacity of some people are like, you're gonna love this, trust me, and then tell me nothing about the story. And I'm like, are you
And you have to read like how many submissions, and like someone's just expecting you to just read the whole whatever they've sent you, like the first three chapters or something, instead of just giving you like,
Right.
yeah, wow. But I mean, obviously, you love your job, you love working as a literary agent, and you get to support authors and help them accomplish their dreams.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite part is talking to my authors. I can't believe I already have seven of them. I love them all so much. They're just such a joy to work with. So, yeah.
That's amazing. That's so wonderful. How do you find like your experience as a writer has shaped you being an agent and then the other way around as well? Take one at a time.
Okay. Oh, my dog is having a nightmare. Oh,
Oh.
sorry. He's growling in his sleep. I was like, what's happening? Okay. Anyway.
He hears the British accent and he's just instinctively enraged.
What is that? Sorry if that was in the background. But anyway, yeah, I think honestly, being a writer and having queried before, I feel like that was one of my strengths when, especially when I was first getting started. As a baby agent without a lot of sales under my belt, I recognize it's a risk for authors to sign with me just because I don't have those sales yet. But I know that because I have that experience in the trenches and I know what it was like, and I know how to support an author's mental health as we go through sub, which arguably can be much better than querying because you have somebody else protecting you, but still, it's a very tough process. So those experiences in the querying trenches help my authors directly. I try to be very personable and I always very much focus on their mental health throughout the entire process. So yeah, and then what was so I answered how has it helped agency? How's it helped my writing? You know, I think my agent and I are actually very close now too. So just because at the same time I was starting my agenting career and she's been such a wonderful mentor for me as well as I get started. And she
That's
also,
so handy.
yeah, it's so handy. Like I definitely model a lot of my agenting career, just how she's worked with me. And, you know, she directly impacts my authors too. And we quite often text each other like questions and like, here's how this is going. So as far as just like my writing, I know exactly what Shayla's going through. So I think, you know, not that this is a bad thing ever, but she doesn't have to explain much to me at all. That not that your agent should not want to explain things, but that's probably a red flag. In fact, if they don't, but at least she doesn't have to with me. So a little less time and energy. But I just know how it works and I know what trends are really big right now. So yeah, hopefully I answered that question. I might have been a
you,
little
you did know that that was an excellent answer. It was, yeah, it's really interesting to hear like a insider perspective on it, because the publishing industry is kind of like a bit of a mystery to some people. Definitely like how it feels to be an agent is a mystery to writers who haven't got an agent. So I think demystifying the whole thing is super useful.
I absolutely agree. And I think a lot of the kind of leadership in publishing or the big houses on purpose want to not demystify things, but I'm trying my best to keep that door open and explain as much as I can so that other people can come in here and enjoy this world with us, because that's how you get more diverse stories and diverse authors. So yeah, I think it's very important.
And that's what we want. Like the publishing industry is so like homogenous, and it's really good to get more diverse. And so you're a neurodivergent and queer agent yourself, so like that's pretty amazing for authors and for your authors. So
I understand. Exactly.
Yeah, you get it.
I like to say I have the Holy Trinity, because I have ADHD, general anxiety disorder, and depression. So,
oh my god,
got them all. Not all of them, obviously, but you know.
Wow, yeah, no, that's that is a heady mix. So what is that like? But oh god, I need to break this down, but my brain is like going off in like five different directions. But what is that like, and how does it impact like the query? Let's start with the querying process and being a writer. How does all of that kind of I guess go with like your mental health during the submission process, the querying process?
Yeah, I think one of the benefits is I'm fabulous at multitasking. You're not supposed to, but my brain just works very well with that. So I will be multitasking forever. Thank you very much. So that's really great. I think, you know, with rejections, it's always really, really tough. With every rejection, it could lead to a spiral of like, oh, my story's not good enough. Oh, this is never going to make it. Which could lead, you know, to depression downturn as well, as we're all very aware. So I had to do some certain things to protect myself. And the last time I queried, I actually made this little jar where I wrote things on a piece of paper and tore them up and folded them up. And it was things I had been wanting to do or like eat or buy. And every time I got a response, I got to pull something from that jar. So it was like a little reward for getting through it. So it's whatever.
I love that idea so much. I have a little jar with like nice memories. So and the idea is like, oh, if I get a bit sad, I can go through and look at, but I actually prefer your idea.
No, I love your idea too, though. That's so precious. Maybe you could do like a combo of both, you know?
I could like have like eat a donut, eat some churros, eat some Korean food. Oh my god, we're back to Korean food, but yes.
Of course it would always go back to Korean food. That was, you know, that was in my jar as well. So
oh my god, amazing. Sorry, you were giving us more advice. Yeah, so have you got any advice for neurodivergent writers who are querying?
Do whatever you can to protect yourself. Publishing is very much geared towards tearing people apart, but we've got to be able to give power back to ourselves in some way wherever we can. So that means turning off your email notifications so only you check when you want to check. You know, if you ever get an offer, agents are going to wait for you. Don't worry about that. Like not being on top of that response immediately. If you only need to send a certain amount of queries, do that too. I know for sure that the querying world has been vastly different than it was before the pandemic. So everything is changing, so you just have to make sure that you can do what you can to protect your mental health and keep trying, and you know, make a little jar of memories or treats, or just talk to a friend about it. And what helped me the most, I think, is just putting my head down and working on my next book and focusing on that versus all of the people telling me no, because it really only does take one yes. And I think like the advice to just keep going can be damaging for people with mental health issues, because you just, it's so much tough rejections and no one quite understands unless you're in that world. And you know, it's one thing for me to say on my high and mighty horse with an agent, like, just keep going, you got it. Like, sometimes it just doesn't happen for people. So whatever you need to do to protect yourself, don't feel selfish. Just do it. So
yeah. And at like what point do you stop? Do you stop when you've had 100 rejections? Like what is too many?
I don't know. As someone who had like almost 500, I think like, and that was, some other people be like, don't do that.
No, this is so heartening. This is like, this is yeah. So good.
Mine was slow and long. Don't worry.
sometimes that's the way.
Yeah. And I think, So what I mentioned before earlier, that the querying world is changing, like a lot of times agents just don't have time at all to give feedback. And I hate that it's also turning towards that way with fulls, but a lot of times you just get a form rejection. And like you mentioned, you really just want to know what's going on. Why is this not working? And sometimes it really just is that it doesn't click with the right person. And so much of querying is luck. Like, you think about the people reading it, we're humans too. So let's say I didn't eat lunch and then I read your query. That could change things. I try not to do that. I always eat before I read queries because of that. So it's just so subjective. And I know that it's really hard to understand that. Taking a look at how many rejections you have for a story, if you have any feedback, and then jumping right in with the next one, because chances are you probably won't get any feedback, which is awful, but is what it is right now.
And there's like tiered, I think of them as like tiered rejections. There's like the standard form rejection, or there's, first of all, there's a no reply for like 2 years. I once got a rejection reply from a query like 3 years later.
Gosh.
I was like, why?
Well, like, I just don't understand why an agent would do that.
It's just, yeah, like, I mean, maybe they were bored and just going through their emails and like, oh yeah, I didn't actually reject this person. I just left them.
my feeling, they probably just like want to clear their inbox, but there's a button you can do that says archive.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah,
go exactly. Away without hurting somebody's feelings. So yeah.
Yeah. Like I saw, so I, you know, I appreciate the form rejections. I understand, like, I mean, you folks get like thousands of submissions and that's completely fine. And then there's like the, like not personalized, but kind of like the more informative form rejections. So which someone like tweeted about, and I was like, oh my god, that's really interesting. And apparently if you say it's not for me, I didn't love this, but please submit again, you're actually being genuine.
Yes, I am 100%. And you know, I don't know if all agents are the same, but I definitely know several are. I actually have I think 6 different form rejections. So I can,
oh my god, was it you that posted? Am I actually talking about
you? No, I don't know. I think there's like several others that do this. Like Kecia is a wonderful agent, and she also does something very similar to this. Kecia Lupo at Bindery Agency also is really great at form rejections. But no, I like have 6 different ones, so I can try to personalize it as much as possible. And then I have like at the bottom of my form rejections links to a blog with all the form rejections spelled out with more information, as much as I can give it on why. So like one of them is literally just my subjective, like, I'm so sorry, this is just not something that I can represent. And then there's like one that's like, oh, I just didn't connect with your writing as much. Or like there's the one that's like too many words. So like, for the ones that are like, you know, 200,000 that I've gotten before.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a book and a half.
It is. It's many books. I think The biggest I've gotten was like 500,000.
Oh.
They were like combining three books in one, and they're like, we'll just publish this, but it's not how it works.
That's wild. Like, I don't, do people, I sometimes just wonder, do people not Google, like, what is the average length of a novel for the genre then?
No, and it's the trend. Okay, I'm gonna say this.
Get it off your chest. This
Most
is a
part,
safe space.
yeah. For the most part, I'm getting those, and like the queries that are like, you're gonna love this, just read it, are like from older, like white men who have the audacity,
No.
how dare you not consider me kind of vibe. So, yes, I absolutely agree. I don't think they're Googling anything. So.
I'm so not like surprised by that. That's very much what I thought the demographic would be, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would be surprised by that at all. So,
Wow. I mean, have you got any more like insider secrets that you want to share with us, or have you already divulged too much?
no. Like just like what's in my aquarium box that's made my eyebrows raise, or just like stand like trends right now in
Yeah,
publishing.
trends, publishing in general, like literally anything you want to talk about that you think we might, I might find, I'll probably find everything interesting, but I think particularly for like querying writers that are thinking about, maybe they're in the querying process already. I think, yeah, any useful advice or info?
Yeah, so I've mentioned before the querying landscape has changed since the pandemic. There's a lot more agents. There's a lot more agents and editors right now as well. There's been a lot of conversations and issues with editor care and publishing houses, which has kind of led to slower responses from editors and new deals coming out. So it's something we're all concerned about and trying to figure out as we step into new generations of AI and all of these issues that are popping up. So that's just something to keep in mind, why sometimes agents aren't really signing on as many clients as recently, especially with the increase of submissions. But as far as like industry trends, I love that middle grade horror is having her moment. Horror in general is having a moment as well, which is just absolutely lovely as a horror girly. He will say picture books can be a bit of a slog as well right now, especially if it's not an author illustrator. That's just from experience myself. Fantasy can be hit or miss, which I think is always the way poor fantasy is. It deserves so much more love. But there's a lot out there for that. Let's see, shorter books. I think a lot of people have heard this already. Shorter books are really up on the trend. Cost more to publish longer books, and publishing houses love to not spend money. So
Yeah,
heard it here first.
that's super interesting. I have noticed, and I've had that before as well. And it's I think people's attention spans as well, so it does maybe fit with the market.
Yeah, especially with children's literature, shorter middle grades and graphic novels are really huge
Oh,
right
I
now
love
too.
graphic novels.
Yeah, I do too. I
It's
love them. But
so
it
good. We
is much harder to sell a graphic novel without an illustrator attached already, too.
Interesting. Speaking of middle grade horror, do you want to tell us about Ghost Scouts Honor?
I would love to. You mentioned earlier it's being published with Scholastic, January 2025. This was my 11th book I ever wrote. She's special and near and dear to my heart. Basically, it is set in Savannah, Georgia, which happens to be one of the most haunted cities in America. If
Sorry,
you could,
what? What?
yeah, Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, how do they measure that? How is that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a lot of dark history attached to it. There's conversations like that also happen in the book. But yeah, it's a very old city. And that's also where the Girl Scouts was founded. The book is very much inspired by that kind of Girl Scout vibe. But in my book, they're called Ghost Scouts because in this world, kids 16 and younger can see ghosts. And these ghosts are around and sticking in their houses because that's where they want to live, even though they're dead. And it's up to the Ghost Scouts to keep the peace between ghosts and humans. And the book follows Evie and her group of Ghost Scouts as they work to unravel the mystery of why ghosts first appeared in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh my God, I love that. I'm so, my interest is piqued.
Good, 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 good. That's my job, hopefully.
So I think we're going to hear a bit of it today. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely, if you'd like that.
I would absolutely love that. If you want to read it, and then we can like talk a little bit about it afterwards.
Yeah. I will say it's going through the last process of line edit, so some of this might change for those that buy the book in the future.
We get a unique version, maybe. That's even
you more are. Fun. You are. Yeah, I will jump right in. I'm also pretty bad at reading out loud. I need to practice this, so this is wonderful. I also have dyslexia, fun fact, so reading out loud is really fun for me. I used to hate doing that as a kid, but...
Oh God, yeah, no, it was always the worst. But yeah, take it away.
Okay. All right, chapter one. There's a ghost in the school auditorium. The dark purple shape of a woman paces back and forth, shredded cloths and long wispy hair rippling underneath swirling mist. Her strangled, high-pitched growl is so annoying. I can barely hear my own thoughts, let alone what anyone is saying. She reminds me of the zombies from that movie Dad and I watched last Halloween. Ribs poke out of skin, an eyeball dangles on her cheek. Her jaw remains wide open, forever in shock. I mean, I've seen ghosts before. Every kid in Savannah has. We go to haunted places all the time on school trips. Practically every building in the city is crawling with ghosts, especially ones with history. But the spirits are always so freaky. Just like when a cockroach scampers across my floor and disappears under a piece of furniture. No matter how many times that happens, I always scream. Even as the ghost lunges again and again at the ghost cage protecting us from her, nothing happens. Stretched too tight skin sizzles where she keeps hitting the glowing purple bars. Protruding veins are clearly bulging out of her skin, even though I'm sitting way in the back in the rows and rows of students. The entire school perches on the incredibly uncomfortably wooden folding chairs, pointing at the large stage, billowing red curtains, and the ghost. Apparently, this is safe. The ghost isn't going anywhere thanks to those electrified bars, but of course, that's according to Laura, who I've learned not to trust. Ugh, Laura. If I had known this presentation was going to be led by her, I would have never come to school today. I haven't seen her since the day she tossed me to the side, like this ghost is clearly done with her dignity. It's hard to believe that angry, rotten thing was once a real person. The Ghost Scouts are an important part of the community in Savannah, Georgia, Laura says over the ghost screams. As anyone knows here, once you turn 16, your ghost vision fades. That's why it's up to us kids across the globe to make sure the ghosts stay in line. Without us, businesses couldn't operate, schools wouldn't be safe, and everyone would live in fear, waiting for the next undead attack. Thanks for listening to me today. As your town's Ghost Scout president, I'll do everything I can to keep Savannah safe with your help. Principal Julie comes to the stage. Today, she pulled her long curly hair into a bun. Laura moves her so she's not within standing grab of the ghost, putting herself in between them. If the ghost was loud now, before, now she's ravenous. She's fixed her dark black eyes on Laura, leaning as close to the bars as she can. Thank you for that insightful presentation, Laura. I really appreciate you being so willing to pull this together so quickly. And for going through all the trouble to bring an active ghost for us. I know it must have been challenging to move her from her home and unfreeze her. Principal slowly takes a step back, accidentally putting herself closer to the ghost. The dead lady lashes out, her skinny arm moving so fast it's a blur, even as the purple bar slices into her rotten skin and makes it crackle. Watch out, Laura shouts as the ghost's jagged yellow nails come close to scratching Principal Julie's striped pants suit. Giggles erupt around me. Someone screams. I wish again I wasn't in this stuffy room. I know Principal Julie can't see the ghost, but she should know to stay as far away as possible. If that ghost got a good grip on her, it would have been hard to make her let go. The powerful goop from the ghost's body would have coated Principal Julie, freezing her up like a giant iceberg until someone could get the right tools to thaw her out. That might make this afternoon way more interesting, though.
Oh my God, it's brilliant. I'm sorry, I was just like entranced.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's so good. I love that. Hate Laura.
Yeah. God. Oh, Laura.
Oh, Laura. That's so good. The ghosts are like really scary sounding.
Yeah. Yes. I think one of the edits I got from my agent was like, make this scarier. And I said, okay, let's do it.
I always feel like I don't quite know how to gauge how scary and like what horror elements children can handle or middle grade can handle. And it's always way worse than I think it is.
Same. If some of the middle grade horror read, I'm like, oh my God, I'm really scared.
Yeah.
As a full grown adult, how do kids handle this? So.
Exactly. But yeah, no, wow. Okay. So, I mean, that is obviously fantastic. I love all of it. Sorry, there's too many thoughts in my head at once. I love that the adults can't see the ghost. I love that you've got this girl that's like caught a ghost. And also the repercussions for like getting touched by a ghost is really like it's quite serious.
It is. That was really fun trying to come up with a world where ghosts had real repercussions in them, but also in a way that, they definitely being frozen is not fun, that's for sure, but you won't die from it. So it was a very big balance of finding, okay, what are really good stakes, but also not too intense stakes where kids are going to be really stressed out
Yeah. It
reading this.
sounds like you've struck a really good balance. How did
Yeah.
you come up with the idea? What was the like process of writing it like?
Yeah. So the very f I started with vibes for this book. I was like, okay, what if I wrote a book that was like the Babysitter's Club meets Ghostbusters? And
My God,
that's
you've just sold it to me. Yeah.
yeah, that's it. That's how it started. And then, I was started pulling in elements from Girl Scouts, and that was some really great ideas I had from some friends. Like, I know a lot of times people think writing is very solo oriented, but for me, it's always been a community effort. And I've been inspired by a lot of friends and brainstorming with them. So, and then I just knew I've always wanted to write stories that were based in the South, where I'm raised and living currently. There's a lot of ghosts here. So those are just elements I kind of came in. And then I think the next biggest detail I decided on is I wanted to write about a girl who is really struggling with friendship. You kind of get a little teaser of that. Laura is her ex-best friend, and she deals a lot with trusting people again. And, I went through a lot of like friendship breakups when I was a kid, and I wish I had more books to read about that. So she just
Oh my
happens to
God,
be dealing with ghosts too. So
yeah. I think
poor
that's
thing.
such an important, not the ghost, but the like the friendship
Yeah.
breakdowns. I think for it's so important for them to be able to read and see how to navigate it, get some advice and a bit of like it's a shoulder to cry on, isn't it? A book.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, this book definitely deals with some darker themes and more emotional stories, but I think that's really important. And like we mentioned, kids can handle it. So
And they need it.
yes, they do. There's also queer characters. Evie has ADHD, and there's actually whole chapters with therapy sessions. So it was also really important for me to be able to represent all of that. So
It's so important. The more we see ourselves in any kind of media, the more we kind of like feel like we're normal because it is normal. We're just having a human experience and it happens to have like labels attached.
yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh wow, it sounds so good. I'm so excited for the launch and I'm definitely gonna have to get it and then like give it to all the middle grade kids that I know.
Oh, thank you. I love that. I really hope that the kiddos love it the most. There's a lot of adults that love middle grade, but when I was
Yeah.
reading it, I was thinking about, okay, the little girls and non-binary pals that are struggling with issues that this book brings to light. So yeah.
I love that. God bless 2024, 2025, and the future where we have like more trans, non-binary, queer, and disabled rep in books.
Absolutely, we should. There's no excuses. We
No
need it more.
excuses. Yeah.
Right.
So one question I always ask my guests is, if you were a mythical creature, what would you be and why?
Okay. All right. No pressure. I love dragons, but I don't know if I want to be one.
Be a
Okay,
dragon.
so like this answer is so different because what's the mythical creature I want to have versus what I want to be? Because if it's what I want to have, I want brownies because you just feed them like muffins and then they clean your entire house for you. That would be marvelous.
Yes, please.
But I I love griffins. I think they're underrated. I could fly. I don't have to breathe fire. And I think I'm smaller. So I feel like I'm less targeted. Like dragons constantly, people want to kill them.
I know, right? It's so rude.
Very rude. So if I was a griffin, I think I'd be just as cool and I can fly. And then I look cute too. So.
I love that answer. That's such a good answer.
Yeah, it's the important things.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. Do you have any final words of wisdom for anyone listening?
Oh, yeah, if you're a querying author, just keep at it. And I know how tough it is out there right now.
Oh,
Your
wait,
stories
one
are
question.
important. Oh, yeah.
How long did it take you to get an agent?
Oh, God. 12 years?
Okay, right.
Yeah.
How many queries, how many books, how many, give us the gory deets, if you don't mind, if you
Oh,
don't mind.
absolutely not. So I was querying for over a decade. My first book I ever sent, I would like to personally apologize to those agents. I don't know what I was doing yet. If you ever got that from me, my apologies. Yeah, and then I sent over 500, I believe. I know I have a blog that details all the specifics, so I could be overshooting that, but it was definitely several hundred. And I queried
Wow.
six different books. And this one I just read was the one that got sold, and it sold in 6 weeks. So it was,
Wow.
my agent's a rock star. So it was a long querying journey for a short sub process. So, but yeah, it was definitely a long haul, and there was many times I wanted to quit.
I bet, yeah. I mean, that's quite that is a lot. That is a long time and a lot of
Yeah.
queries. But I hope that gives people listening a bit of hope and a bit of comfort. You know, I have one friend who's like, I sent out 20 queries and I still haven't got an acceptance. And I'm like, bitch,
Me, come on.
please.
Yeah, it's always slightly disheartening when you log on to social and someone's like, "Oh, I just sent 50 and I got my agent." I was like, oh, "Okay, well,
I
that
read
was not my, my
last
process."
week. I read one
Oh.
last week, which was like, oh, I sent out six query letters and I got five acceptances, and I was like, get fucked.
What? That's wild. Absolutely not.
I know. I call bullshit. And also, yeah, that was a stab in the chest. But this makes me feel really good. Because I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, your book is wonderful. You are just wonderful. And like
Thank
you
you.
know the process in the publishing industry as well. So it's, yeah, I think it gives me cheer and heart and all the good things.
Good, good. I really that's my goal. I want querying authors to, feel encouraged and keep going and knowing their stories are important, and one day you just gotta find the right reader, which can be the challenge, right? So, yeah.
That's brilliant. Any last words? Anything to promote other than your book?
No, I don't think so. I really appreciate chatting with you. This has been absolutely wonderful.
It's been so lovely. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate it.